Hi there, listeners. Welcome to WGRT's Limelight, your connection to the people influencing culture, commerce, and community here in Port Huron, Michigan, and beyond. Today we're talking with Pamela Paul, editor of the New York Times Book Review and author of the new book, How to Raise a Reader. Pamela has been working for the New York Times for years in various roles, including children's book editor and as the host of the weekly book review podcast. It seems only natural that she would publish a book like How to Raise a Reader, which provides parents and caregivers with a beautiful reference for finding books for every stage of childhood. Please forgive me if I sound a little nervous. I love this book, and as I researched Pamela's work before the interview, I geeked out a bit and kind of became a fan. I also found it incredibly difficult to say How to Raise a Reader when I was so nervous. How to Raise a Reader is a beautifully illustrated hardcover book that shares reading strategies in a warm and non-judgmental way. It includes advice and reading lists for new parents, as well as tips for those who want to read with their teenagers. Each section includes advice about what to look for in books for the particular age group, along with what to be wary of, proving that not everything that ends up on a bookstore shelf is the very best you can offer your child. Now let's go to the interview so you can hear directly from Pamela.
Hello, Pamela. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm good. I love your book. It's fabulous. Beautiful, beautiful
Aww.
Book. And I'm so excited
to talk
to you this morning. So first of all, it looks like this book totally evolved out of your love for children's literature and your work for the New York Times. So can you start by telling us a little bit about how those two things inspired How to Raise a Reader?
So I approach this book in a number of ways. It felt like both a mission and a passion. My mission as an editor at the New York Times Book Review and formerly the children's book editor has been to get people to read, to enjoy reading, to talk about books, to find pleasure in them, and to show them all the great new books that are being published today. So I feel kind of evangelical about that. But it's also my passion. It's something that I have done since I was little. This is like the way that I choose to spend my leisure time. I love TV. I love movies, I love the internet, but I really love reading, and reading has always been part of my daily life. So I feel like I want to help parents find the right books for their child. And also, as a parent of three children of my own, I've gone through this now three times. I'm still going through it. My kids are 14, 12, and 10. There's nothing more exciting than like seeing your book, your child wrapped up in a book. I have my kids who will say, like, I want to finish this chapter before bedtime. That's really a thrill. And then to talk about books with your kids, you know, to be able to say, oh, wow, you know, this book was, you know, really interesting for this reason, or, you know, I was really shocked by this book. It, you know, for a book that was published a long time ago, like this kind of book couldn't be written today because it talks about women in this way. Or, you know, it's really interesting. Books spark conversation. They get your kids thinking. So yeah. I, like, couldn't find a subject matter that I feel more passionate or more sort of devoted to. So writing this book, frankly, it was kind of like a book that wrote itself. Together with the children's books editor, Maria Russo, my co-author, we felt like when we sat down to work on this, it was like, finally, we get to say everything that we've been wanting to say and also to answer all the questions that parents ask us. And that's another big part of it. And parents, when you have this job, when you're the children's books editor at the New York Times, when you work at the New York Times Book Review, parents are coming up to you all the time, and they're like, oh, my God, my child won't read, or, oh, my kid was just labeled, like, Group C, and he and all his friends are in Group A in first grade, and, like, what does this mean? Or, like, my kid says he hates books. What do I do? Or, you know, I'm looking for a book about dogs, and it has to be funny, and I'd like if it was a video about friendship, you know. So we get asked all these questions, and this is our way of offering answers.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I noticed that it's really difficult in this day and age with technology. Parents almost feel paralyzed competing with that. So what would you say to those parents that are like, my kid doesn't want a book. They want their iPad. That's all they want. And how do they transition from a lifestyle of kids going to technology to going back to that, you know, the paper, the book, and disconnecting from technology? What would you say?
Well, there are two big parts to that, and they're not unconnected, but part of that is, you know, you're the parent, So you are actually in control of those devices. You set the rules, you set the guidelines. I know that's really, really hard to do, but you're paying the monthly bill on the iPhone. You're the one that decides when your child can have dessert and when he can't have dessert. So you can also decide when he gets the iPad and when he doesn't get the iPad. So that's a bigger issue for a lot of families, and I know families struggle with it, but you kind of have to set down those guidelines, the ones that are right for you and your kids and your family, and then you can work within that. So if you decide, hey, as a family, we're going to choose to have all our devices shut down at 8 o'clock, and that includes grown-ups because they're looking at you. So it's a mixed message if you're, like, scrolling on your phone at the same time that you're saying, like, guys, it's reading time. You know,
definitely.
You have to kind of model for them. So that's one thing. And then the other part of it is on the kid. It's the kid's choice. It's about the kid choosing to read, wanting to read. So how do you create a love for reading? Part of it, finding the right books for them, not judging them, making sure that if your child likes sports statistics or your child likes Minecraft, there are books about those things. There are books for those kids. If your child prefers to read books that are quote-unquote below his level, that's okay at home. Let it be fun. They're under enough pressure to learn how to read at school. Focus on letting them take control of what they want to read at home. And then there are lots of, like, very practical, you know, day-by-day tips that we have in the book that kind of are focused on the age of the kid, kind of kid, what they like to do, what kind of reader are they? So a lot of people will be like, ugh, my kid does not read. All he wants to do is look at comic books. Well, guess what? That's reading. Those are books. That's fine. They're having fun with that. And what's wrong with that? I read Smurf comics when I was little. I read Archie comics. It didn't prevent me from growing up and reading, you know, Edith Wharton or Colson Whitehead.
Yes. And, you know, that brings me to the next question, which is your book is organized in a very specific way. And I actually really liked that. I've read a lot of books that recommend other books. But can you tell our listeners how you organize this book?
Yeah, that was really important for us because we feel like, you know, there's no such thing as a kid who doesn't want to read. There's, like, the kid that hasn't found the right book. And finding the right book can be really daunting for parents. Like, you're a new parent, you walk into a bookstore, it's really, like, nerve-wracking. There's a reason why so many parents reach back to the books they read when they were growing up, and that's why books like Richard Scarry and Dr. Seuss and Blueberries for Sale and, you know, all the books that we read growing up, that's why those books continue to sell. Not just because they're great, because they are, but also because that's what we're familiar with. And it's hard to be like, look at everything that's out there and figure out, like, what's the right thing. But what we wanted to do is to encourage parents to do that because children's books have gotten really, really good. Children's book authors know that they're up against the internet. They know they're up against Hulu. They know they're up against, you know, WhatsApp. So they are really well done. They are grabbing kids' attention. They are showing a diverse group of kids. And for girls, they're showing girls in a different way. They're showing kids of color images of them in different ways. They are showing situations. Lots of books are, frankly, about screen time and about creativity. Lots of books focus on kindness and empathy, things to help your kids with bullying, which is, you know, something that's top of mind for a lot of parents. So it's good to know about everything that's new that's out there because those books are fantastic. And what we wanted to do in the book is not only help parents figure out the right books for every age, but also the right books for kind of needs and interests. So, you know, Maria's a parent of three, I'm a parent of three. Sometimes you're looking for a book that's about teamwork, or sometimes you're looking for a book that'll help your kid feel less nervous about going back to school. Or sometimes you want a book that's just funny because your kid doesn't like sad stories, or your kid loves animal stories, or he hates animal stories. You know, you need to figure out, like, what the right book is for your kid, and that's why we organize books, not just by age, but also thematically. Like, here are some great books about kindness and empathy, or here are some excellent books about identity and inclusion. Here are some wonderful books that are just funny. These mm-hmm. books are heartwarming. Like, some kids really like books that are, aw, you know, it's so cute, it's so sweet. Other kids think that's really corny and sappy. So we tried to get the book organized, not just by age and stage, but also by, like, interest and passion and temperament.
Perfect. How can our listeners get their hands on this book?
So I hope you can find it in your local library, your local bookstore. You can find them online. Our publisher is Workman, which is workman.com. My website is PamelaPaul.com. So hopefully easily accessible.
Perfect, beautiful book. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That's it for this edition of Limelight. If you enjoyed hearing this conversation, visit WGRT.com and click on Limelight for more interesting stories from interesting people. You can also follow me on Instagram at WGRTJessie for book giveaways, sneak peeks, and adorable pics of my dog. Until next time, have fun out there, learning, working, and playing. For WGRT, I'm Jessie Wiegand.